presented by the National Association of Realtors.
Hey, good morning. I'm Playbook co-author Eugene Daniels. It is Thursday, March 28th. Here is what's driving the day. First up, Joe Lieberman, a longtime senator from Connecticut who became the first Jewish American to be nominated on a major party's ticket, died Wednesday. He was 82. A statement from his family said that he died, quote, due to complications from a fall. His beloved wife, Hadassah, and members of his family were with him as he passed. Known for his fierce independent streak and his ability to work with both sides of the aisle, he was Al Gore's Democratic running mate in 2000 and was on the short list in 2008 to be the running mate for John McCain. Lieberman was 82. And this morning, President Joe Biden is shattering fundraising records with a star-studded event on Thursday. His campaign says it is set to bring in $25 million. The event features former presidents Barack Obama and Bill Clinton and late-night host Stephen Colbert. Our colleague Elena Schneider writes this morning, the one-night extravaganza will all but certainly increase Biden's sizable financial advantage over former President Donald Trump, who raised about $20 million in all of February. And it will serve as a vivid reminder that the president has ample resources at his disposal as he tries to claw his way from a small but persistent polling deficit in the general election. And it starts with IVF. Our colleague Brittany Gibson this morning reporting that RFK Jr.'s running mate has been a harsh critic of in vitro fertilization while funding alternative research on extending women's reproductive years. She has for years denounced IVF, calling it, quote, one of the biggest lies that's being told about women's health today. And joining the pod for the very first time is politics reporter Brittany Gibson. Brittany, welcome for the first time. Happy to have you.
Thanks for having me.
So you cover RFK for us, and it is yeoman's work because it is all over the place, right? His policies and also the kinds of people that you end up talking to. This weekend, you had a really interesting story about the kinds of people that he's bringing in. And now you are looking into his running mate, who was announced just 2 days ago, Nicole Shanahan out of Oakland. Your story is about IVF and her views that she has said in public on IVF. So tell the people like what those details are and more importantly, why the story was important for you to do.
Absolutely. So, you know, digging into her stances on IVF mostly came from just, you know, what's in the news right now in terms of fallout we've seen from that Alabama Supreme Court case. And then, you know, just everything about women's reproductive rights, which is a major theme of this election. So her view on IVF, Nicole Shanahan's, is very skeptical, if not outright against IVF. She's critical of funding and backing of IVF. She's called it one of the biggest lies that's being told about women's health today. And she is skeptical that it's a commercial endeavor, not so much a scientific one, to help with women's reproductive health. And I believe part of this is informed by her own experience with IVF, but also in her professional life, she runs a nonprofit that funds research into what she calls women's reproductive longevity.
Views that are very out of line and out of step with largely where, not just where the American people are, but also Democrats and Republicans are also kind of moving together toward that. One of the things that I have found so interesting, and you have been front and center with this, is you have RFK, who is from the name in Democratic politics, right? However, his family doesn't think he should be president and shouldn't be running. But he also espouses a lot of different policies that are actually more in line with kind of a right-wing, you know, chatbot situation, right? Those, like, he's all, kind of all over the place. For example, I have an aunt in South Carolina who was really interested in him just because of the name. This is an older Black woman in South Carolina who actually loves Joe Biden, but was saying to me, oh yeah, I would vote for Kennedy. And then, you know, she said, what does he think? And I told her some things and sent her a couple of your stories. So he's able to use that name to grab some folks. It seems like he is kind of this unpredictable aspect of the election, whether or not as an independent, he would pull from Joe Biden or he would pull from Donald Trump. It could happen either way, it seems.
Absolutely. And I think even his own team, in the interview I've done with him, it's inconclusive who he pulls more from. But you're absolutely right. I think if you look at his professional background in the 90s, 2000s, he was mostly an environmental litigator, things that would appeal very much to the left. You look at his work in more recent years, especially post the COVID vaccine and vaccine mandates, he was doing a lot of advocacy against those, going to appeal more to people on the right. But then you have some thoughts of his that I struggle to plot from left to right. Like, he believes that the CIA or, you know, the government agencies were involved in the killing of his uncle and his father. And like that, you know, spans the gambit and might attract a lot of people who aren't even what we would call like very political or, you know, overtly into electoral politics, regular voters, maybe is a better way to say it. So yeah, it's very unclear who he draws more from, depending on what they've heard about him. If they've heard about him recently, the name definitely helps in terms of, I think, his broader polling support. I don't think he would be polling as highly if his last name was, you know, Smith. I think his VP pick may have, Nicole Shanahan may have turned off some more conservative leaning people who were interested in Kennedy. That's what I've been seeing from his, some of the online response. He's got kind of an online volunteer base, and some of them were concerned that she was too liberal, too close to the Democratic Party. But it remains to be seen.
People who are third parties don't like to think of themselves as spoilers, right? But when you talk to him and his team, how do they view their place in this election? I know they don't see themselves as a spoiler, but do they see themselves as winning? Do they? Because it's, you know, you have to get on a lot more states than he's on right now to win the Electoral College and have a lot different policy prescription.
Absolutely. He and his team have embraced the term spoiler. You'll see at the event launching his or announcing his VP candidate, he said, "I'm going to be a spoiler for Joe Biden and Donald Trump." He said that multiple times.
That's not really what a spoiler is, RFK, but sure.
what they literally say is, like, you know, they're in it to win it, but there are a lot of logistical obstacles for them. You mentioned the biggest one by far right away: ballot access. They are officially only on the ballot in Utah. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but Utah alone, not even
very red state. Very red state.
But you know, it just mathematically, not going to be enough.
Yeah, we're not mathematicians on this podcast, but one state out of the ones that we have, not going to work.
So I think, you know, really how they handled that logistical challenge for the campaign is going to be the real answer to the question of, like, are they going to be spoilers in this election, regardless of how they describe themselves?
Well, Brittany, thank you. You're going to have a very exciting rest of your few months, because he doesn't seem like he's going anywhere. So get some rest and get on the road. Thanks for coming on.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
And for your schedule today, the House and the Senate are out. And this evening, President Biden will be heading to New York City, where he'll be hanging out with two former presidents and Stephen Colbert at Radio City Music Hall. I'm Eugene Daniels. Thanks for listening.
The National Association of Realtors is fighting for housing affordability and availability before Congress. The lack of affordable housing supply is hurting the middle class and depriving first-generation and first-time homebuyers of the financial security that home ownership provides. That's why the National Association of Realtors has a bipartisan plan to expand home ownership. Learn more at flyin.realtor.com.